This is Pat Tomlinson with Ag Spectrum. I'm talking with Dr. Jim Smart, Ag Spectrum research and teaching agronomist. Dr. Smart grew up on a farm in southeastern Kansas. He earned his master's and doctorate in agronomy and weed science with a focus on herbicides. He worked as a research scientist at the USDA ARS in Weslaco, Texas for 10 years. And Dr. Smart has been with Ag Spectrum now for more than 20 years and is familiar with every aspect of the maximum farming system. He spends a tremendous amount of time traveling throughout the Midwest and beyond, supporting Ag Spectrum associates and growers. Jim is working at his home office on his farm near La Harpe, Kansas. How are things in La Harpe, Jim?
Oh, I'm great. Our weather is very nice today, but it's going to be very cold tonight, so I guess I can enjoy the day while it's here.
Well, you got to make hay while the sun shines, I guess. What I wanted to talk with you about today is the number of growers with cover crops in their fields that are either working with cover crops for the first time or are still fairly new to them. As both the intrinsic benefits of cover crops are increasingly recognized and external programs and incentives come into play, we know the number of cover crop acres and cover crop growers are increasing. I think there are concerns among those who don't yet have a lot of experience about how to transition from their cover crop to the 2023 cash crop in a way that reaps as much benefit from the cover crop as possible, but also gives priority to the needs of the 2023 cash crop they're planting. And that transition means that at some point they need to terminate the cover crop. We know there are different approaches to doing that. Can you talk a little bit about that topic?
Well, oftentimes if we can allow our cover crops to grow a little bit longer, we get more benefit out of those as far as protecting the soil from wind and water erosion. One of the challenges is if our cover crop grows and becomes a mat and it's wet in the spring, then sometimes it's challenging to get it to dry out enough to plant. So some of the things that we have to consider is what species do you have in your cover crop? For example, if you have ryegrass and turnips or just annual ryegrass, those species will actually use quite a bit of water and can help to dry out the soil. But if we terminate them early, they can form a mat that covers the soil and just keeps it wet and makes it difficult to plant. So there's kind of some trade-offs. As far as terminating our cover crops, there's really three ways we can do that. We can use chemical to burn them down prior to planting. We can plant green right into existing cover crops and then terminate them at some point later. Or we can use a roller or crimper and crimp those cover crops and then plant into them. If we're planning to use a roller or crimper with rye, cereal rye or annual ryegrass, we need to have the cover crop jointed, or the roller and crimping won't terminate the crop. It'll just bend it over and then it'll come back. So
the roller or crimper an option on most species of cover crop, or is that something that should be focused on certain species?
Primarily the grasses, like annual ryegrass or cereal rye, it works well. Rolling and crimping isn't that effective on some of our legumes that may be in the cover crop, like red clover or things like that. So for the grass species, it can work well, but you have to let the cover crop get big enough that it's jointed and you can actually break that stem and terminate it. So three ways we can terminate them without tillage is using chemical pre-plant, planting green, or just roll it and crimp it. And it all depends on what you're most comfortable with and also what your planter is set up to handle. For example, if you have row cleaners and you can plant through residue fine, then that makes it much easier. If you're not set up to plant through heavy residue, then you may want to terminate the cover crop sooner with chemicals so that it's easier to plant through.
What are some of the considerations that would be specific to individual fields?
The stage of growth of the cover crop is important, and that depends upon the grower and what he's most comfortable with. I personally have tried all of those, and I really like letting the cover crop grow as long as it can before I plant, or even planting green and then terminating it if we're going into soybeans.
What's different when you're planning to plant corn?
It's more challenging to get the crop, cover crop, controlled, so it's probably better to terminate it before we plant the corn. And one of the other issues that growers find, if they have a cereal rye or annual ryegrass, is all that crop residue sometimes ties up some nitrogen. So sometimes we may want to apply a little bit of more nitrogen at planting time than we ordinarily would, because we know some of that nitrogen is going to get tied up in the residue and not be available early in the season for the plants to use. So changing how we apply our nitrogen or the amounts we apply can help us to be more successful.
As we're seeing strip tilling becoming a little more common and more strip till units on farms, could a grower that had a strip till unit and maybe didn't yet have his planter equipped to work with the higher levels of residue have success with a pre-plant burn down, then running over the field with the strip till unit to create a little more friendly seed bed in the rows, maybe help the strips dry out and warm up a little faster?
Oh yes, that can work very well. On the downside, if you live in an area where it's very dry, that strip till can form air pockets, and if you don't get any rain before you plant, those air pockets can lead to uneven emergence of your crop. So that's the downside of relying on the strip till. Sure. So if you're going to do that, you probably need to do it at least a couple of weeks before you're going to plant, just so you have a chance to get some precipitation that would collapse that ridge above the strip and get the air pockets out.
You bring up the timing aspect of termination relative to the target planting dates. If a grower doesn't think planting green is a good fit for him, how long before the planned planting date should he be terminating a cover crop?
Well, if I was going to plant corn, I would try to terminate the cover crop at least 7 to 10 days prior to planting. And that can be difficult because we may have pretty cold temperatures in early April to get the herbicides to work well. But at least if you fail to get 100% control, you still have another chance before your crop comes up. Now, if you're going to plant soybeans, it's not so much of a worry because there's more options to control grass species like cereal ryegrass or annual ryegrass. And there's actually quite a few more options. We can use products like Clethodim, which would be brand name Select or ones like that, or we can use Assure 2 and then plant soybeans, and even Fusilade DX is very effective in controlling those grass species. So we have more options with our soybeans than we do with corn as far as controlling the grass species that are in the cover crop.
So if a grower is working with a field he's planting to soybeans this spring and he does want to try planting green, what should he be thinking about in terms of his planter and making sure it's prepared for that type of situation?
Well, he probably would be much more successful to have row cleaners on the front of the planter and perhaps even some additional down pressure on the row units, because if it's heavy residue, sometimes we don't get the penetration or the seed depth placement that we are trying to achieve because of all of that residue. So to have good down pressure, and there's several ways to do that, and then also some type of row cleaner in front of our disc openers is very helpful to move some of that residue to the side so that we can get uniform seed depth and placement.
Our focus in the spring is, of course, primarily on terminating the cover crop, but should a grower take advantage of the opportunity to really assess his population versus what he planted, maybe the uniformity of the stand before he terminates it, to give himself a chance to evaluate his practices in seeding the cover crop last fall? If we assume cover crop acres are likely to continue to grow and that learning how to get them better established will probably be one of the factors in determining success.
Yes, if you observe the cover crop, you might check and see, is it mostly the cover crop that you planted, or do you have a lot of other weeds coming in? And for example, cereal rye or annual ryegrass tend to crowd out things like henbit and pennycress, so they're not much of a problem in the spring. Whereas some other types of cover crops, clovers and turnips and radishes, do not crowd out, so we may have a lot of weeds coming in the spring also. So selecting species that help to crowd out or eliminate some of those weeds is very helpful. And then sometimes we have weeds that are herbicide resistant. They might be triazine resistant or glyphosate resistant. And if those are present in the cover crop, we want to select herbicides that will control them the first time. So if we know we have some resistant weeds there, we need to change up our herbicide strategy. One of the herbicides that's relatively new that does a pretty good job with our resistant weeds is the product, the active ingredient is Tergio, but it's Reviton, which is a non-selective burndown type herbicide that will control glyphosate resistant weeds. And it can work very effectively, but you have to use at least 15 to 20 gallons to the acre of carrier water. And then it needs to go on where you have some sunlight to activate it. So it's more like Liberty, where it needs to be higher volumes to get good coverage, and then also it needs sunlight to work well. But that's good if you're planning on using either glyphosate or glufosinate or Liberty later in the season, because you've controlled those resistant weeds early, and then you can go ahead and save those other herbicides for post-emergence applications later in the season. And last fall, many people had dry conditions in the fall, so if they tried to just broadcast apply seed, they probably didn't get a very good stand. So drilling it, or you know, getting our seed in the soil is usually more effective on uniformly getting a good stand. But then if it's dry or adverse conditions, we probably need to up the seeding rate a little bit to get a good coverage with the cover crop, so it fills in and crowds out the weeds. And that's part of the objectives of the cover crop, to eliminate some of those weed pressures. Sure. And then the timing is important. Some people like to seed a cover crop while our fall crop is still growing, and to give the cover crop more time to grow. And I like that, but sometimes it can be challenging because we have to either broadcast it or seed between the rows. And one example would be seeding things like radishes and turnips in late July or August and giving them a chance to get established. Because if we wait until after corn harvest, the radishes or turnips may not get very much growth before they freeze out in the fall. Yeah. So the earlier we can seed things like that, the more chance we have to get a benefit from them.
Another aspect of scouting the cover crop before a pre-planting termination might be evaluating the insect or pest pressure out there in the field. Can you talk about that?
A grower might scout his fields and see if he's got quite a bit of insects in a dense cover crop mat. And if there appears to be quite a few insects like army worms or even the smaller insects, he may want to add an insecticide to his chemical burn down so he could control those insects. Because once you terminate the cover crop, insects that are feeding on green tissue will move directly to whatever's emerging, and that may well be your cash crop. So if you have substantial insect numbers, you may want to add a relatively inexpensive insecticide to go ahead and control those insects at the same time you're applying your herbicide.
Well, you've given us a lot of good information today, Jim. What would you say is the key takeaway for an Ag Spectrum associate in terms of leadership and advice that he can give to a new cover crop grower?
I would say if a producer is not comfortable with using different herbicides post-emergence to his crop, he probably should try to burn down with chemicals prior to planting, and that can help him to maybe sleep better or feel more comfortable controlling that cover crop. As he gets more accustomed to using cover crops, planting green and or using a roller and crimper are options that are very effective, but it can really make someone nervous if they're not accustomed to doing it that way. So I would say if you're new to the cover crops, probably you'll be more comfortable using a chemical control prior to planting.
Well, that's probably a good place to wrap up for now, Jim. Thanks again for taking the time to talk with us, and stay safe in all your spring travels.
Okay, thank you, Pat.